Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That is Psalm 112, verse 7. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining us today is Phil Dark, president of Providence World Ministries. He is host of the podcast Think Orphan and co-author of the book Pursuit of Orphan Excellence. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Thanks for having me, Sandra. I'm very excited. Very excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you here, Phil, and talk about your work on behalf of the orphan. The mission of Providence World Ministries is to inspire and equip others to love orphaned and at-risk children and their communities with excellence. Tell us about how you do that.
Yeah, you know, before we like talking about how we do it, we like talking about why, you know, and this is something that I hope most people listening understand fully, but, you know, the one thing that keeps us doing what we do is the fact that in Genesis, right at the beginning, God talks about we're image bearers. We're image bearers of Him and who He is and who what He loves. And He loves these children more than we ever will. He loves every child in the world more than we ever will. And God does everything He does with excellence. And we get to be a part of that. He invites us into that as co-laborers with Christ in this work to love the orphaned, to love the vulnerable, to love the widow, to love the poor, the sick, the oppressed. And that's something that, you know, we try to do every day. We try to live that out every day by helping others. As you said in that mission statement, we're trying to work with excellence. We're seeking that excellence to mirror God's love for these children, to be able to show His love on earth. And what the way God has us doing that and living that out, you know, is by creating materials and resources for the church. Because what we've seen is that, you know, there's millions and millions of orphans worldwide. There's millions and millions more vulnerable children worldwide. Those numbers are growing each year. And what we've seen more and more as we've been researching it, because we are researching globally, is that a lot of the current approaches over the last decades are just not working to alleviate these issues. In fact, the numbers keep growing. And so we really need a full-spectrum solution to love and care for the children. We need prevention through restoration. We need the church to be the main agent of the solution, because as we've seen, governments are not the answer. The church is the answer. And so what we've said is, how can we help to equip and resource the church with materials, with excellence-driven resources that will be able to show them how we can love the orphan really, really well and as God loves them. And we are working to do that through collaboration. We're also working to do that. We don't want to just live in theory land, you know. And so this organization actually started by having this excellence trying to be lived out through an orphan care community, a family-based orphan care community in Honduras. It's called La Providencia. It has family homes. It has a medical clinic, a school, community development programs. Because what we're trying to really do is take the theory, take the research, take all these things that we're working on to help the church understand it and put it into practice in a place so that we can be able to say, you know, we understand there's really, really difficult things to take theory and put it into practice. How can we bridge that gap? And so we're trying to work on that to help establish credibility with people as well when we're talking with them, but also give us a full, deep understanding of how hard this stuff is, really, when you're starting to put it into practice. And we're going to talk about some of the other ways, some of the resources that we have throughout this conversation. And I just look forward to every day getting up and trying to figure out how I can help the church understand this better, how I can help individuals understand this better, how I can help people hone passions for the orphan, because God loves these kids more than we ever will. God has given us hearts as Christians to love these kids as He loves them, to have the heart break for what breaks His heart. And so we're trying to help people understand how they can do that in excellent ways.
Mm, Very good. And I know you had shared with me a story, kind of like a little example of one of the ways that you're able to really get involved and help churches and help organizations. And it was about an orphan that was found in Iraq. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't done any work in Iraq to date. In July, I get a call from a friend who says, "Hey, Phil, we found a," or I got a call from a general in the Iraqi army, and he told me there was a little baby found in Mosul who was orphaned by, you know, the ISIS conflict. His parents were found dead, and she was found in the rubble. And so he gets a call to rescue that child, come and rescue the child, bring that child to a safe house. Well, that happened 3 or 4 or 5 other times. And so he calls me when they have 6 kids in this safe house in Iraq. And he says to me, he says, "Phil, what do we do?" And my immediate response was, "I have no idea. I don't know." Which I will say is one of the best responses you can have to something, as long as you seek the answer for it and as long as you try to seek out the wisdom to answer that question. Because when we know what we don't know, it allows us to go find it out, the answers. And so I said, "I don't know, but you know what? We have some contacts, you know, around the world." So I got on the phone with a friend from Washington, D.C., another friend from Leeds, England, who were doing this work. I knew they had done some work in the Middle East. Asked them if they knew people. They pointed me to some people in Kurdistan. And then those contacts led to some other contacts in Amman, Jordan. And because we're able to have, you know, people that we know who are striving for excellence, who we know are seeking out this same call to love the orphan with excellence, we're able to have this network where I could then be able to put together a packet of materials for this organization who called me up to find out how they can best love these children, and put together about a 15-page memorandum for them where they could know who to trust in the region. They could know some organizations that are doing this work in the region to be able to know how to best care for these children in a holistic manner who are being, you know, orphaned by this awful, awful conflict. But we can hopefully come in and intervene in the midst of this to be able to say, how can we take these children who have lost their parents, who may not have extended family that we know of, and who may not be able to have any other option, how can we provide them with family? How can we provide them with the love of our Father, our Heavenly Father, here on earth? And so that was just a snippet of how we're able to take this, you know, research, this global research that allows us to be able to create kind of frameworks for care and be able to apply them to a particular cultural context. Because in addition to studying, you know, or talking to all those people, I also studied Iraqi law. I went in to talk, you know, to figure out the cultural context of that to the extent I could by talking with different people. And then within that, to be able to put together information for this organization to be able to hopefully care for these kids at that deep level, and also simultaneously seek out family members, seek out other people who might be able to care for these children outside the context of this safe house.
Well, you said earlier that the church is the answer, and the church is the largest network globally. So it Absolutely. Makes sense that we're, you know, we can do this if we step up, stand up, and get involved. But I find that most...
Well, right, and two, yeah, I just want to add in there that and work together, right, to be the church.
Be the
unified.
Church.
Unified. To be collaborating on these things, and I think that's such a key aspect of this, we didn't do it alone. I didn't just write something up for this guy and say, here's how I think we should do it. You know, there were people that, you know, when you ask, people are there, and I think we need to ask more, and we need to really work together more.
Absolutely, and you worked together with some folks and co-authored the book Pursuit of Orphan Excellence, which my copy has been ordered and is on the way. I look forward to reading.
Yeah.
So tell us about the book and how our listeners can get one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, In Pursuit of Orphan Excellence is available on Amazon. It's available via Kindle or hard copy. Amazon's really the place to get that. In fact, I just have my last box of it, of the actual copies that we printed. And so, you know, we might print some more, but Amazon is the best place to get that right now. But this book was something that started out, I was an attorney for about 8 years, which you know, I'll get into a little bit later when I share my story. But about halfway into that is when I got involved with with orphan care at all. So I was really new to the scene when I came on board with Providence World back in 2008. And when I started talking with people at conferences and at different places, what I kept hearing was people having conversations using terms that really seemed to be using the same terms to mean different things. And, you know, with a lawyer mind that I had, that drove me nuts because, you know, I know it's hard to have conversations with people that you might disagree with already. And if you're using different glossary of terms, different vocabularies, it's even more difficult. It's like speaking, you know, Spanish and English. You're literally speaking different languages sometimes. And so sometimes you're having arguments when you're really not arguing. And so what In Pursuit of Orphan Excellence actually started out as was wanting to be really a glossary of terms so we could have conversations with each other, because I kept asking around people saying, and to give you an idea, the word orphan, even when I talked with most people outside of orphan care and you said orphan, they thought of someone, a child who lost both parents, when in fact the UNICEF definition, when most people in the orphan care movement start talking about orphan, it's lose, you know, lost both parents or lost your mother or father. And then that's also broken down into different things. And then if you were use the word orphanage, that was another thing that could mean something from the largest institutional care to a family-based care model like we have at La Providencia. The term orphanage could mean either one of those things. And so you really don't know what you're talking about unless you clarify it. So when I started talking to people, they said, yeah, we don't have a glossary like that. We need one, though. Go ahead and write it. Well, Sandra, as you might imagine, I'm doing this for like a year and a half. I have no idea really what's going on. I'm just learning this stuff. And they said, go write a book on it. And I said, no, I can't write a book on this. I don't know enough. You know, I know what I don't know, and that's a lot. And they said, well, you know, we don't have time to do it. You're the one that God's put it on his heart. Go for it. And I kept hearing that over and over again, but I still felt that I was not confident to write a book that would have been worth the paper it was written on, really. I wouldn't have wanted to read it myself, let alone have somebody else read it. So, but I kept hearing God telling me this, and then so I talked to people. I talked to Jed Medefin, president of Christian Alliance for Orphans. I talked to, Matt Storer, you know, who's with Vision Trust, and I talked with some folks from World Orphans. I talked to some people, these organizations that I respected, and they kept telling me, you know, asking me hard questions, but it kept coming back to, yeah, we need a book that will really frame a conversation on these really hard issues so that we can understand, you know, what do we really need to pursue excellence in the context of, children who are orphaned. And so what it turned out to be, it turned out to be more than a glossary of terms, because when I started doing that, I started realizing, you know, why don't we put together a book that creates a framework for what every child needs? Because at the end of the day, it's not about what does an orphan child need. That's true. There are a couple things that an orphan child might need a little bit more psychosocial care than my biological child in my home might need. But at the end of the day, there's things that are just universal for children that they need. So it's family, it's education, community integration, medical dental care, nutrition, psychosocial care. And then when we're talking about in the context of children who might be in a family-based home setting, you need self-sustainability in that organization. You need national leadership. And then to bring it all together, we need spiritual formation. And so those are the 9 prongs that we covered in this book. And as I started writing the book, I was originally going to write the entire thing and have stories that were shared. And the more I wrote it, the more I realized I can't do this because I don't know enough about it. So that's when I went out. And with my lawyer mind, I thought, you know what? When I don't know something as a lawyer, what do? I get an expert witness. And so really what I thought of was, okay, I need to find people all around the world from different countries who are doing this work in each of these areas really, really well. And if I can find experts who are experiencing it and they're doing it in different parts of the world, that will really be able to show people that these are universal things. And, you know, they can then have resources if they're in that region to be able to go to that person, be able to ask them questions with a cultural know-how. So the book turned out to be 15 co-authors from all over the world. God brought these people to the project. One of the coolest things about the project was there's only one author that I knew before starting the project. There's only one other co-author, and that's a woman who's part of the school at La Providencia. Other than that, I met every single one of them after starting the project. And that, to me, really confirmed that God brought these people to the project. It wasn't me and a bunch of buddies putting together a book. all of them have become great friends. In fact, my co-host on the podcast is one of the co-authors on the book. But the book really exists to help people understand how we can love the children who have lost their family members, don't have extended family to care for them that we know of, and likely will not be adopted in the near future because of, you know, laws or other cultural issues and other issues that might be going on in the life of that child. So how can we actually provide those nine things to those children in ways that are culturally appropriate, culturally relevant? And that's what the book's about. And it really, the hope for the book is not just that people on the ground working around the world will read it and understand it, but people that are in the church will read this book to understand what every child needs, and that these kids don't just get our seconds. They don't just get our leftovers, but they get the best that we have to offer. The question I ask, Sandra, in all this work that I'm doing, in all the research that I'm doing, is if something were to happen to my wife and I, what would I want from my five children? What would I demand from my five children? And that is something that drives me in this. If there's something missing from that, we need to fix that. How can we take care of that? And that's really what this book started from. That's what this book became. And then it blew all my expectations away when it was finished. And to hear stories about how people, you know, have just been given the book or have bought the book all over the world. I've heard stories from India. I've heard stories all over Eastern Africa. I've heard stories from Eastern Europe. I've heard stories from different people. And I've heard stories. It was one of my favorite stories. And with this is this. I get this email from a name that it was clearly a name that was a foreign name. I had no idea where it was from, but it says, "Phil, thank you for writing this book. My father had this book on his coffee table, and I asked him if he was reading it. He said no. So I asked him if I could read it. He said yes. I started reading this book, and on page 35 and 36, I was reading about me. Those pages are about the orphan heart. And he proceeds to say, Phil, I was an orphan. I lost my father in Ethiopia, and I lived on the streets, had to live in an orphanage, and now I live with my father here in the United States. Thank you for writing this book, because it really shares my story and so many other stories." Mm. That confirmed everything that we did. Every bit of work we did on that book was worth it for that one email. And to know that God's done so much more than that, it's why we do this stuff.
Yeah. Let me just remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit justicefororphansny.org. Our guest today is Phil Dark, president of Providence World Ministries. He is author of the book Pursuit of Orphan Excellence, which you can find on Amazon, and he's host of the podcast Think Orphan. Phil, where can our listeners tune in to Think Orphan?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes, it's available at thinkorphan.com, SoundCloud, any other Overcast, wherever you're getting your podcast, it's available. It's really a podcast that we're working to help people understand the breadth of the orphan crisis, that it's not just about adoption and foster care and orphanages, but it's about preventing orphans with family preservation and poverty alleviation and discipleship and church planting, and how can we see those areas as orphan care as well. It's about anti-trafficking work and about mentoring, and how can we see all of these issues as interconnected. They're not siloed. All this work that we're doing around the world as the church is not siloed, and almost everything that we're doing as the church not only touches the lives of orphaned and vulnerable children, but it's touched by the lives of orphaned and vulnerable children. And we need to see it that way, so that when you're partnering with a compassion child, you see that as orphan prevention. Mm. You see that as keeping a family together. You see that as keeping communities together to love these children, so that there won't be an orphaning event, so that those children will not be trafficked, so that those children hopefully will not need those they'll need mentors, but they won't need that hardcore mentoring to come in to kind of fix the kid, so to speak. And to also see mentoring, for instance, not just as fixing a kid, but it's actually coming in to prepare that child to be preemptive family strengthening, to be preemptive poverty alleviation, to be preemptive, and it is also discipleship, right? So to show this child how to be a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, you know, and so that's really what we're trying to do through the podcast. We also have a book project that has that same, it's similar to In Pursuit of Orphan Excellence with a collaborative nature where we have 14 co-authors on that book that's talking about those same things, that these issues are interconnected. We can't be working in silos. So how can we get, and we have people from organizations that are doing all of that work on the podcast. It's not, you know, it's not a podcast that's just focusing on any one of those issues in any way, but it's talking about all those issues and how they work together for the church to be able to understand that, for pastors to be able to understand that, for anybody that's interested in a really gospel movement and helping to make all things new as God calls us to do. That's what this podcast is about.
So, Phil, you're involved in this tremendous amount of work advocating for the orphan. How did you get involved?
Yeah, it's a much longer story than we have time for today. In fact, I actually have an episode of Think Orphan that shares my entire story. So if people are interested in that, they can go back to the first episode of Think Orphan, and we share that. But the short version, very, very short version, I was an attorney for 8 years, about 4 years into that. I read a book called Desiring God by John Piper, and it talks about life as worship. And then I read a book right after that, and I don't think it was an accident, written by Gary Haugen of International Justice Mission, and I learned all about the human trafficking, awful, awful, tragic stuff that goes on with human trafficking. And then God actually, I thought maybe that's what I was supposed to be doing to live out my, you know, legal skills in the kingdom was IJM. But that's not where God took me. Instead, he had me research trafficking and see the connection with orphan and vulnerable children. And so from there, my wife and I, you know, started looking into the adoption process. We never ended up adopting, but God brought me to Providence World. And from that, I ended up joining the board of directors. I ended up coming full-time, leaving the law firm I was working with in October 2008 to come on full-time with Providence then. As I said, that's a much shorter version, but since then, God has just really shown me how my legal training and how all those things that I did in the past, if you haven't already heard that through this pod, or through this interview, I'm clearly using all those skills that God has been preparing me for so many years to be able to use that every day today. And so it's exciting to see how God just can take a heart, can take a mind. I had no thought of orphan care growing up. Through law school, it was never the plan. None of my legal background points to this at all. But God captured my heart with this love, as He has. We talked about earlier. He has this love for these kids more than I ever will. He captured my heart with that, and has enabled me to use those skills for that, for those purposes every day. So it's been a crazy journey. I wish I had more time to share all of it, but you can go listen to that more on the Think Orphan if you definitely want to hear more of the story. And there is a whole lot more to the story.
Yeah, you told me the longer version the other day, and it's an incredible story, and hopefully our listeners will check that out. But it's really a perfect example of what we often talk about. We are not all called to adopt. We're not all called to foster, but we are all called to care. James 1:27, right? And your story is a perfect example of using your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities and using them to invest in the kingdom of God and on behalf of the orphan. So that's just, you know, really a testimony to there's something we can all bring to the table. What is your something? And bring it, right? So
absolutely.
You went from being an attorney to full-time ministry, really, advocating for orphans, and that is powerful. So Phil, as we wrap up, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear today?
Yeah, I want to end with what we started with, really, and that's, you know, to remember that we serve a God of excellence, and God has invited us into His work. And I was reading the story the other day, actually at my Bible study with some men, about Jesus walking on water, inviting Peter out, inviting all the disciples out, and Peter's the only one who came. And Peter's walking to Him, and he starts falling, and then Jesus says, "Why? You have little faith. Why didn't you have more faith? Why didn't you have faith to walk all the way to me?" You know, and that, we often look at that and we put it on Peter. But what I saw is I thought of the entire context of it. And I thought how it applies to what we're doing here. So Jesus points to Peter and says, "Peter, you went halfway. You did mediocrity." Now, the guys on the boat, they didn't do anything. But you know what? I'm wanting excellence. I'm wanting you to come all the way to me. That's what I've invited you into. It's so much more. And you get to do this. we get to do this. It's not a have to. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. And it just really struck me. I'd never seen those verses in that way before, but it's hit me so hard that by telling Peter that, he's also telling the guys in the boat that. The guys, yeah, you didn't do jack squat, but you know what? I'm calling so much more than just mediocrity. And too often in this work, too often in any ministry, we accept mediocrity. We accept walking off the boat and thinking that we achieved everything. But Jesus told Peter, that's not, you know what? You don't have to. I love you the same as he showed, right? I mean, Peter failed him over and over and over again. And he still made clear, I love you. But I want so much more, right? That's what I want all of us to be able to hear. That's what I want. I'm preaching that to myself as much as to anybody else, right? God wants so much more for us. He saved us. He loves us no matter what. He loves us more than we could ever imagine, even though we don't deserve any of it. But he invites us in to make all things new. He invites us in to bring shalom to our communities. He invites us in to love the orphan as he loves them. He invites us into so much more. And as C.S. Lewis said, unfortunately, we too often, you know, accept the mud pies and the slums when he wants us to be living in abundance, right? And so that's something that I just want to implore everyone out there to know that, believe that, and live it out.
Well, thank you, Phil, for all you are doing in being a voice for excellence in orphan care. And thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
And we thank you, our listeners, for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode of Orphans No More, you can find more on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on radio and then click Orphans No More. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, your host, and I would love to share at your church, so contact me to inquire about availability, and that's at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.